What?
College matters.
What?
College matters. Matters.
Really?
For sure. College matters.
Alma matters. Matters.
I had a student who wasn't a rap student, but he was in my class. He had multiple sclerosis. And he had some speech deficiency and also couldn't walk really well. But he was fascinated with geology. Like, I showed photos of rocks and I could see his mouth is just hanging open. So I invited him to be my lab teaching assistant, not a research assistant, but to teach my intro geology students. And eventually he got involved in my research. He was never encouraged to go into academia. When he was in high school, people thought he should go to trade school because he can do research.
That is Jug Bhattacharya, professor of geology at the University of Wisconsin, Whitewater. Hello, I'm your host, Venkat Raman. Jug found that while doing her graduate program in geology, research shaped her understanding of the discipline. So while teaching undergraduate classes, she wanted to bring that research experience to undergraduate students. That drew her to UW-Whitewater. UW-Whitewater has had undergraduate research programs for juniors and seniors for a very long time. In 2014, they introduced another initiative, the Research Apprenticeship Program, RAP, to plant the seed of undergraduate research in freshmen and sophomore students. Professor Bhattacharya joins us on our podcast to talk about undergraduate research at UW-Whitewater, the role of CUR, the infrastructure and resources available to students and faculty, success stories, and finally, the skills needed to do research. Now, before we jump into the podcast, here are the high fives, five highlights from the podcast.
My education was fully into research. I could see how actually tackling a real world problem shapes the understanding of the discipline firsthand as a graduate student. And I wanted to bring that into my classroom, like when I'm teaching undergraduate students. So that's one of the big role that CUR plays, that gives our students an opportunity to interact with undergraduates from all over the US to share their research and present their research at a much bigger venue than we can provide. Since 2014, we also started a research apprenticeship program. This one is for students who are freshmen, sophomore, or transfer students who has not made a connection to campus. They don't know which who to go to for research. They don't know a mentor. Sometimes they don't even know what their major is going to be.
Right.
They're really new on campus and they don't have a GPA. Noah Paget, he was a math student. Again, I recruited him for a rap, and he defended his PhD last week. So his advisor kind of came jumping up to me like, did you hear about Noah? He defended his PhD. Now it is Dr. Paget now. So that was a huge success story for us because that's how we do the mentor of our undergraduate students. My thing is the natural world, and I'm curious about how things work in the planet that I live on. Environment, your how systems work or how society work, it doesn't matter what it is, but find your curiosity. And then once you get to a college campus, find a group, a student group or a student org or a department where you can satisfy your own curiosity.
These were the high fives brought to you by
College Matters.
Alma Matters.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Now, I'm sure you want to hear the entire podcast with Professor Bhattacharya. So without further ado, here's the podcast with Professor Juke Bhattacharya.
So if you're ready, we can jump right in and get started.
Sure, I'm ready.
Okay, cool. So I think what we could start off with is maybe a little bit about your background, how you got to where you are right now.
Okay. I'm originally from India. I did my undergraduate degree and master's degree in geology from University of Calcutta. I did my master's, finished my master's in 1992, and then came to University of Minnesota in 1994 for my PhD. And I did my PhD with Dr. Peter Huddleston, looking at the mountains in the Caledonides that lay in Sweden. And I finished my PhD in 2000. Then I joined Whitewater in 2004. I worked at a community college, St. Louis Community College at Meramec, before I joined Whitewater. And the one of the big reasons I joined this campus that I'm here right now is because of the opportunity to do undergraduate research, like working with undergraduates in independent research projects. It was the big reason why I chose this campus.
So why was undergraduate research so important to you? What's so important to you and to the students?
I love teaching. That's my biggest thing. I got my first job was at Purdue University. It's a one big research one university. And I did my PhD in one of the big research one university, like in University of Minnesota. So my education was fully into research. I could see how actually tackling a real world problem shapes the understanding of the discipline firsthand as a graduate student. And I wanted to bring that into my classroom. Like when I'm teaching undergraduate students, I wanted to have give them a similar experience. It won't be the same. It won't be as intense and all-consuming as a grad student. But just the experience of delving a real-world problem that's relevant and how that can help students understand why they're studying something. And that was just something else. So even when I was teaching at a community college, in a two-year campus, people think that, oh, who's going to do research there? But I did do research with students there at a two-year campus. And the students are very receptive about it, like just how you can get involved in solving a problem that has real-world consequence. And Whitewater has a big tradition of getting students involved with faculty in doing just that, in solving problems that have an implication for the real world. So it's a big way of teaching.
Before we go any further, I actually want to ask you, you jumped into academia, and did you do you ever consider industry? You talk about real world problems. So I'm guessing that the tack you wanted to take was coming at it from research. But why academia? I you said you love teaching. That's for sure. But was that the main driver?
One of the drivers. It's academia fits my personality. I like making my own schedules and being in charge of what I'm doing. In industry, I'll have bosses and like above me. And I also believe strongly that knowledge should be free. Now, if you go into industry, you do get to do research in industry. But a lot of those research are not available to public because there are copyright issues and all those other industry-related issues that you don't want to share with other people, that are that knowledge is kind of limited. And that, I know it's I know the what their point is. Like in industry, you can't just share everything you find because there is a chance of competition stealing your knowledge and making profit out of it.
But
for me, knowledge is something that should be available to anybody. And mm-hmm. that's one of the big reasons I went to academia, where I can create knowledge, look for knowledge, and share it with public without having any kind of like issues about like confidentiality and other things that I'll have to follow if I go into industry. But that's a lot of my students go into industry, and I actually actively encourage them to consider industry as a viable career option. It's just not for me.
So coming to Whitewater then, what is your role? What role do you play in undergraduate research at large?
I used to be the coordinator for the research apprenticeship program 2014-2016. Mm-hmm. But then I stepped down because my 2 years were up. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm an associate undergraduate research program counselor. Mm-hmm. So I review proposals that get submitted to the undergraduate research program. Mm-hmm. I stepped down mostly because I wanted to focus more on my own grants. Right now mm-hmm. I have two active externally funded grants in my own lab. Mm-hmm. One NSF, and I got the Regent Scholar Award in 2019. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have time to look at the campus-wide program and deal with my own lab and my own students. So I choose my own lab over dealing with a campus-wide program, the directing and the administrative jobs that comes with it. But I'm very much involved in the overall undergraduate research, what's happening on campus, and I advise students from other disciplines to get into undergraduate research. So I'm very much involved in that, but not in an administrative capacity.
How does CUR help you guys? What kind of role does it play with the infrastructure and whatever else you're able to provide at Whitewater?
Oh, CUR is a huge help for us. I'm a CUR counselor myself. Mm-hmm. So I am part of the CUR IDEA. Committee IDEA is inclusivity, diversity, equity, and accessibility. Mm-hmm. I used to be the co-chair of that committee, and I stepped down recently last year. Mm-hmm. And I am also the co-chair elect for the CUR at large division. Mm-hmm. So after this year, I'll step into as a co-chair role for that division for CUR. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That division is mostly campus leaders, so provosts and deans, and then it's non-discipline specific, which
helps
me because I get to learn how to do the logistics of undergraduate research from the people who are doing it that you don't mm-hmm. really get if you're in a division that's related to the discipline only.
Yeah.
So that would be my roles next year, starting next mm-hmm. year. And CUR has helped shape the infrastructure for the UW-Whitewater for quite a long time, actually.
Mm-hmm.
We participate at NCUR, that's National Conference on Undergraduate Research, very regularly. We send a lot of students to NCUR. NCUR mm-hmm. is organized by CUR.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the big role that CUR plays that gives our students an opportunity to interact with undergraduates from all over the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
to share their research and present their research at a much bigger venue than we can provide.
Sure. But
also has workshops and grant writing opportunities and other professional development opportunities that our faculty and other research mentors can avail of.
Sure.
So CUR has been like our faculty and administrators do take advantage of CUR pretty often, and I'm very much involved in CUR myself. So CUR has been kind of a good support, like giving the infrastructure, providing go-to information, how do you do certain things, getting like if we have an issue, you can always go to the CUR, the community and see mm-hmm. who else is having certain issues, the same kind, so you can brainstorm and discuss ideas, things like that, that people really don't think about, but they can be very valuable when you need immediate information.
What is the kind of infrastructure that undergraduate students get to do their research? I mean, what is sort of an institutional thing, and what would be, you know, at the end of the day, a lab or a departmental thing?
Yeah. So on our campus, we have two parallel programs for undergraduate research.
Hmm.
An undergraduate research program, the traditional URP. Mm-hmm. And this program was in place for a long time. This is where students who are juniors or seniors who already have an academic portfolio, they already know their discipline, they already are active in their academic program, they mm-hmm. get to go approach a mentor and come up with a research project with the mentor. The mentor doesn't tell them what to do mostly. The student's responsibility to come up with a project.
Mm-hmm.
And the mentor helped them develop the project. The students apply to the URP program with a proposal. And mm-hmm. when the proposal gets reviewed by other faculty, we have a pretty rigorous research proposal review process here, where other faculty reviews the proposal. Mm-hmm. And once the proposal gets accepted, the student faculty team receives a $500 research expenses.
Mm.
So the student doesn't get paid, but right. they get money towards the research expenses for buying lab supplies or doing field work or whatever they need.
Sure.
And the student also get the opportunity to present their research at NCUR, or we have our statewide symposium, the UW System Symposium for scholarly and creative activities.
Mm-hmm.
So the students get to go either nationally or statewide to present their research, and mm-hmm. all the expenses are paid by the campus for this, going to the conference, registration, everything, lodging, everything, except for food.
Sure.
So, okay. And the student also get to present on campus. We have fall and spring undergraduate research day on campus.
Mm-hmm.
So the students get to present to the whole campus, and that gives them an opportunity to present their research for people outside their discipline. So they mm-hmm. learn communication skills and how to make posters and all those skills.
Yeah.
They also, before the COVID, they had best poster awards or best oral presentation awards. I'm pretty sure they're going to bring them back.
Yeah.
But it's undergraduate research is a big, big thing on campus. Students get celebrated for their research. They get to show off what they're looking at. And yeah. we also invite their parents and anybody else they want to invite. The thing is open to public.
Mm-hmm.
And our undergraduate research is not just academic. We just only don't do science or the, you know, academic yeah. disciplines.
Right.
Our students, the theater and dance, are very much involved in the scholarly and creative activities.
Mm-hmm.
So they present their skits or whatever creative, like their dance choreography,
mm-hmm.
metal, like the 3D sculpting, metal work. Those students present their work as part of the scholarly and creative activities. So mm-hmm. it's a whole, like, everybody get to show what they're doing and what they're working on to the whole campus. So those are like really good days for students to see what everybody's doing.
Sure.
And campus supports that really well. So that's our traditional undergraduate research program.
Okay.
The students have to have a GPA that 3.2 or above cumulative GPA. They have to be a senior or junior, so established. So that used to be before 2014. Now,
okay.
since 2014, we also started a research apprenticeship program.
Mm-hmm.
This one is for students who are freshmen, sophomore, or transfer students who has not made a connection to campus. They don't know who to go to for research. They don't know a mentor. Sometimes they don't even know what their major is going to be.
Right.
they're really new on campus and they don't have a GPA.
Yes.
It's because they're so new. So right. we are trying to get those students involved in research as well. Mm-hmm. So we have the faculty mentors mm-hmm. invite those students to work as research apprenticeship in their lab, like as an apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
So the students get, students list their interests, like they're interested in certain things, say environment or economics or whatever their interest is.
Sure.
They list it, and then faculty who are looking for students to work in their lab also list what their research project is all about, and the
right.
lab coordinator make the match. So
mm-hmm.
faculty can identify students from their classes. That's perfectly okay. Students can approach a faculty if they know somebody. That's okay too. But
mm-hmm.
we are targeting students who otherwise will not know about research or will not do research.
Yeah.
So that is, in this program, students actually get paid.
Mm.
So for the URP, students don't get paid. But mm-hmm. for the research apprenticeship program, we actually pay students because a lot of our students cannot afford to spend time outside of classroom without getting paid. They
mm-hmm.
have to work two or three jobs to pay their bills.
Sure.
So we try to make sure that they can at least work in the research labs or whatever research work they do and get paid for their time.
Mm-hmm.
So RAP students have a payment scale for
mm-hmm.
how many of our hours they work. So these students don't get to design their own project, but they get to work with the faculty, promote the faculty research agenda, or work
mm-hmm.
with senior students as
mm-hmm.
an apprentice to learn the ropes. So when the senior student graduate, they can take over their role in the research lab.
Mm-hmm.
These students are encouraged to participate in the undergraduate research day, but they're not expected to present.
Mm-hmm.
So they can just see how presentation is done, how a poster is made. So
yeah.
that program is also getting a lot more traction nowadays. Like people know about this and they come up and say, hey, how can I get involved in RAP?
Mm-hmm.
This is what you do. So that's our second, the supported program that we have for undergraduate research on at Whitewater.
How does a freshman find out about RAP? You know, is it part of the orientation? How do they get introduced to it or become aware of it?
It is part of the orientation. We have like open days when freshman students come on campus and they get to meet, we have different tables and the students get to meet different program leaders and participants. So
mm-hmm.
URP RAP gets a table for the visiting freshmen who are trying to see what the life is all about.
Mm-hmm.
I sat in at the URP RAP table last year and talk to students about why they should get involved and how to get involved.
What are some of the statistics like? I mean, what fraction of the students do you think at the end of the day end up participating in some form of research on campus? Any ballpark idea?
With COVID, all our ballpark figures are kind of gone out of the window because the last
What was it pre-COVID? Maybe that's...
Let me pull out a publication that I did pre-COVID. But
yeah.
In a ballpark, just as a ballpark, we get about 10 to 15% of the students go through some sort of undergraduate research for at least one semester.
Okay. Fair enough.
Sometimes it becomes more, sometimes it goes down, but that's about the ballpark that I can think of.
You know, you guys have obviously a wonderful system and a pipeline of how to do this, and I'm pretty organized. And I'm assuming that a lot of faculty act as mentors. I don't know what percentage that would be, but it seems like quite a few faculty participate in the whole overall undergraduate research programs as well, right?
Both. Mm-hmm.
Now, what are some success stories? Do you have any?
Oh, yes.
You know, maybe from your world, that would be great. I mean, you know, two or three vignettes, that could be very inspiring.
So as success stories, we have students who received the Goldwater Scholarship. Mm-hmm. You know about the Goldwater Scholarship, right?
Yes.
The most prestigious scholarship for STEM students. And quite a few of our undergraduate students received that scholarship. Mm-hmm. One of them was a geology major, Melanie Sorman. Mm-hmm. She received it in 2016. She was a RAP student and then ended up with a URP, received the Goldwater, and went on to graduate school in Miami University, Ohio. And currently she's working at PSARA. That's an environmental consulting program. We have another student in a biology program who also received a Goldwater honorable mention, and now she's in a Mayo Clinic doing an MD-PhD program. I recently heard a math student. I'm all talking about RAP students because we started.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So Amanda, who is currently in the Mayo Clinic, she was also a RAP student. Noah Paget, he was a math student. Again, I recruited him for a RAP, and he defended his PhD last week. So his advisor kind of came jumping up to me like, did you hear about Noah? He defended his PhD. Now it is Dr. Paget now. So that was a huge success story for us because that's how we do the mentor of our undergraduate students. Like Amanda's a biology major, Noah's a math major, but I was involved in like mentoring them and getting them in their, you know, whatever appropriate mentor would be for their interests, and kept talking with them, like how they're dealing with academia, if they're having any issues. And we kind of become not just mentor, but part of the family almost.
Now, what kind of change do you see in these students? You know, a freshman who walks into the apprenticeship program and, you know, a year or two later, what are some of the kind of thing, characteristics you start seeing, you know, that make you, you know, that is really a transformation due to the research, you think? I mean, obviously not scientific, but, observation-wise, yeah.
I had a student who wasn't a RAP student, but he was in my class. He had multiple sclerosis. And he had some speech deficiency and also couldn't walk really well. But he was fascinated with geology. Like I showed photos of rocks and I could see his mouth is just hanging open. So I invited him to be my lab teaching assistant, not a research assistant, but to teach my intro geology students. And eventually he got involved in my research. He was never encouraged to go into academia. When he was in high school, people thought he should go to trade school because he can do research because of his disabilities. And then he was a history major because nobody thought he could do science because his disability. But when he came to our lab, we don't discriminate with disabilities. I could see his interest. Like, if you are interested, you can do anything.
Right.
And that's the whole motto for our research lab. If you are interested, there is nothing that can stop you. There. So he ended up overcoming his speech. I mean, he was afraid to talk to people because he felt uncomfortable. But in the teaching lab, he became more confident. He went to Iceland with me for research. He went to Hawaii with me for research. And currently he's in Bowling Green doing a master's degree in paleontology.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's the kind of change that we see in our students. Like, they gain their confidence. They feel they belong. They decide what they want to do instead of settling. You know, people think, oh, it's probably not for me, and they settle. And when you do research, you don't settle. You want to go to the point as whatever you want to go, how far ever you want to go, you can go doing research. And that's what I see in our students that are coming in, like new, they don't know anything about college. They probably didn't ever get encouraged to pursue their dreams. But if mm-hmm. you're in a research lab, in a place where you feel you belong, you can reach for the sky. And doesn't matter if you have a disability, you don't have the proper support in your family, you don't have any understanding of what research is, nothing matters. You can reach wherever you want to go.
So I guess you're saying it's a way of building self-esteem, which maybe an unbiased way, so that there's nobody else sort of telling you it cannot be done. I have one more question before we move forward. I had a discussion with Professor James Hewlett about the kinds of students that shine doing research. And one of the things that I've heard a couple of times now is that a lot of the students who are, I don't want to say struggling, but don't have the top grades, somehow find their calling when they do research. I mean, is it the case that it requires something different, thinking differently, maybe out of the box, whereas, standard courses may require you to be somewhat more structured?
I totally agree with Professor Hewlett. Students, their academic grades doesn't really matter, doesn't really predict who's going to be more successful in research or not. Hmm. So academic grade depends on a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
Research depends on being successful in research, depends on very different characteristics for students, and mm-hmm. they're not always the same. So most of my students who are successful in research have a B average grade, so mm-hmm. around 3, 3.2. Very few students that I mentor have like a 3.8 or above. Now, mm-hmm. I'm not saying if you have a good GPA, you cannot be successful in research. That's not true.
Right.
But
right.
grades don't really predict where students will end up and how well they will do in research. Now, for me, research, this being successful in research, depends on curiosity,
mm-hmm.
A good work ethic,
mm-hmm.
Not being afraid to fail. Research mm-hmm. will never work the way you plan. Your experiments are not yes. going to follow your plans. So right. if you are somebody like, if something that you planned and that didn't work and you give up, research is not for you. But mm-hmm. if you make a mistake, you're not afraid to make a mistake, you learn from your mistake and you move on, you'll be successful. So it takes some amount of risk. Taking scientific research is all about taking a risk. Like, you are assuming this is going to happen, but it may not happen. And you just have to take that with your stride. Like, you've spent so many hours setting up this experiment. It didn't give the data that you expected, or something did not work. Well, learn from it and move on. And you have to have a good work ethic, and you have to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, honestly, okay, if you make a mistake, admit that, yes, this is, I messed up. And this is what I learned from messing up. This is what I'm going to do next. So being able to accept failure and moving on is a huge thing in research.
Mm-hmm.
And again, these things don't necessarily reflect on your good GPA. A lot of students who have good GPA, they don't take risks because that will hurt their grades. So a lot of them don't take hard classes. Or, if an answer is wrong, they get really upset. But students who cannot take failure, they usually don't do well in research. They'll do well in very structured research. Like, you only do certain things, you only collect certain data and get your answers. Well, there are places for that, but in real exploratory research, you have to be a little more open, exploring, learn to fail, be curious. That's another thing. You have to want to know what's going on, or how you can make it better, or what is the basic principle of what's happening. This curiosity drives hours and hours you spend in the lab. Some of my students spent the Thursday evening, Friday nights in the lab just looking at the data, trying out different things. And I kind of tell them, do you want to go home? It's like pretty late. And they're like, no, I just want to set it up. A lot of times I'm not even there. They're just working by themselves and they're undergraduates. They're not graduate students, but they're curious. They want to see what's going on. So those are the characteristics that makes you a successful researcher. Plus you have a teamwork and other things that, you know, that you have to work with other people to some extent, being honest about what you're doing, setting boundaries, that those things also come into play.
You know, you said that Whitewater has a great tradition of undergraduate research. It's been going on for a long time, and the current RAP has been going on for the last, 8-9 years now. Where do you see all this going? How can it get better? How can you scale? How can you go beyond the 15-20% that you're talking about in terms of student participation? How does that happen?
We recently have a new campus. We have a 2-year campus, which is our branch campus. Mm-hmm. So our next step is going to be involving students from the 2-year campus to do research with the rest of the campus community. Mm-hmm. But there are challenges for that because students who usually come to the 2-year campus, they're commuters.
Yeah.
They have other obligations like family and job. And so they have very little time to do something extracurricular outside of their classes.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we are trying to do is to incorporate research in our classes, mm-hmm. on something that's called CURE, course-based undergraduate research experience.
Yeah.
The CURE is currently more into lab sciences. So the biology and chemistry courses have CURE. They're working to do more CURE-based courses, but we at Whitewater are trying to involve other disciplines besides biology and chemistry into CURE.
Yeah.
So courses like political science or geography, the environmental studies, those courses are also using part of course-based undergraduate research experience. So students who don't have much time outside of their classes to do extracurricular research can also be involved in research. Mm-hmm. As part of the course.
Sure.
So that way we are trying to get more students involved in research. And then if they want to continue their course-based research, they're curious, they have the opportunity to be part of the undergraduate research or RAP, make it like a formal research thing. But before that, we are trying to open up the pathways for students to be involved in research, at least know the skills that research gives students. So that's where I see getting more students to be involved in research at Whitewater. It'll take some time because CURE courses are a lot time intensive for the faculty.
Yes. Yeah.
Right now I have a course. I'm teaching a class, co-teaching a class with a physics professor. Mm-hmm. And this is a course called Geology and Physics of Iceland.
Wow.
So we have 15 students. We are going to Iceland in May, and mm-hmm. all the students are working on research projects on various topics where they will collect data while they're in Iceland.
Mm.
And a lot of these students have never done research before, so they don't know how to write a proposal. So they're starting with how to write a proposal, mm-hmm. how to figure out, the kind of design a project by themselves, figure out mm-hmm. what activities they would need to do. Mm-hmm. And then how to collect data, how to operate the equipment, make a poster, and then present their research to the campus after they come back.
One other thing I wanted to ask you was, what is the participation across majors and disciplines? How much breadth of undergraduate research is going on? Is, you know, non-STEM related, is it pretty deep and wide?
Non-STEM depends. We have non-STEM disciplines in the like humanities. There is quite a few research mentors that are doing research in the humanities. Social sciences, a huge amount of research is done in psychology, political science, those kind of disciplines where social science, social work is big on research across, like we have social work programs that have research done in the, like intergenerational studies and things like that. We have research, I talked about research in the arts and communication. Communication is a big, another research. The departments, the disciplines that are not as involved in undergraduate research are education and business.
I see.
Education, because their students have to do so much student teaching, they really don't have time for anything else. And business have to do so much internship. It is equivalent to undergraduate research in terms of experience, but they don't have time to do any research. Economics is different. The economics faculty get students involved in research that's not internship, but marketing also do research, but they also focus more on getting an internship and job experience more than doing academic research. So we don't get as many students making posters in the UR day as other disciplines, but non-STEM in the letters and sciences, research is a big thing. Arts communication, basically all departments have some representation.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, that's quite institutionalized, save the couple of departments you mentioned, like business and education. Now, Juke, we're going to start winding down here. But before we do that, I would love for you to give advice to high schoolers. You mentioned a number of characteristics about undergraduate research, about doing research. Now, in high school, what should they be developing? What are some opportunities or what are some skills that they ought to be looking for to try and, you know, get ready for the freshman year on campus where they can start doing some research?
Excellent question. Yeah, my advice would be find a topic or something that you really care about. It doesn't have to be science or math or something like that. Find a topic that you really care about and go with that. It could be shop class, but find something that you really care about, you're curious about. My thing is the natural world, and I'm curious about how things work in the planet that I live on, the environment, your how systems work or how society work. It doesn't matter what it is, but find your curiosity. And then once you get to a college campus, find a group, a student group or a student org or a department where you can satisfy your own curiosity. Don't be afraid to talk to professors. Professors don't bite. We'd love to have you come catch us on the hallways or in classes as a freshman. My door is always open. And students just walk in. I have candy on my table. So you can walk in. That's perfectly okay if you just walk in for candy. But talk to people in your dorm, in your classes about what's going on. And be curious. The work ethics that I talked about, there is no shortcut. People think that you can just, you know, you can just do certain shortcuts and you can just skate through college. No. There aren't no shortcuts. You have to be willing to work hard in getting what you want. And research skills are something that the employers are looking for. It is not like research skills, you develop something that you never ever use. All the skills that you develop in research, the presentation skills, the communication skills, problem solving, teamwork, listening respectfully to others, all these skills are highly valued by employers. Research teaches you to think independently. you're not a drone. You're not taking information and putting it out there. You're actually thinking through a problem, making the information, making sense of information, and arguing your point respectfully. Mm-hmm. So all these skills get developed in research. So it's not like I'm asking you to do research, be my lab slave or something. No, you're developing all these skills. So as a high school student, find a topic that you'd like to work on and you think spending time on that topic is important.
Mm-hmm.
And then find a professor or a student org, ask your advisor about where you can find your interest or where you can join an interest group. Be engaged mm-hmm. and involved on campus. Don't be afraid to ask questions and you'll be successful.
Fantastic. So, Juk, this has been a very exciting conversation about undergraduate research. Love your passion, love your style, love what you're doing. So thank you so much for coming on and inspiring, hopefully, these high schoolers. And I'm sure we are going to talk more. In fact, we're going to talk again next week. But for now, take care, be safe, and I'll talk to you next.
Thank you for having me. It was fun. It was fantastic. Thank you.
Sure thing. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi again. Hope you enjoyed our podcast with Professor Juk Bhattacharya of UW-Whitewater about undergraduate research. Specifically, Professor Bhattacharya covered UG research infrastructure available to their students and faculty, the research apprenticeship program and the traditional research program available to undergraduate students, student successes across disciplines, and finally, advice to budding researchers on the skills needed. I hope you pursue research during your undergraduate years and explore UW-Whitewater for your undergraduate studies. For your questions or comments on this podcast, please email podcast@almamatters.io. Thank you all so much for listening to our podcast today. Transcripts for this podcast and previous podcasts are on almamatters.io/podcasts. To stay connected with us, subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify, or visit anchor.fm/almamatters to check us out. Till we meet again, take care and be safe. Thank you.
College Matters.
Alma Matters.